Jeremiah chapter 9 to build a kind of a foundation in the direction we're going today. I love the Lord. He's constantly reminding me that He's God and that we can do all things through Him. Amen. He's already provided everything for us. There's nothing else He needs to do. When He said, it is finished, he finished the work. And now it's about the time, about you and I receiving what's already been accomplished for you and I. Amen. The devil doesn't want it to get in your mind and heart really who you are in Christ Jesus and what you're entitled to. Because as long as you don't have revelation and understanding, he can continue to steal and rob from you everything that God has in store. And I was looking at Jeremiah chapter 9. And it's like it's glorying in the knowledge of the Lord. The Word of God says in verse 23, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to build off of this today with the help of the Lord. And then we'll just see what the Father wants to do. This is His house. This is His word. And you belong to Him. And if you don't belong to Him, you can belong to Him before you leave here today. Hallelujah. Amen, because He loves you and has a plan for your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26, the Word of God says this, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, He did call some rich, and He did call some mighty, and He did call some noble, but there's not a lot. But God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, all things which are not, and things which are not, to bring to naught those things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who is of God, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Our focus of the verse today is that no flesh should glory in His presence. It's not about us. It's about Him. The title of this morning's message is, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. And God will take the weak things and the base things to bring about the good thing. Amen. He'll take the weak things and the base things to bring about the good things. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration together here today? Can you repeat after me? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. So speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's kind of amazing. Some people might ask a question and say, well, Pastor, why do you do that? You know, it's very difficult to get anybody to come into agreement with anything. Because we all have our own thoughts and our own ways. And God wants to bring us into unity of the faith. He wants to bring us together. He wants us saying the same thing. Amen? Just from different personalities. Amen? And so God has a plan for every life in this room today. You know, no matter where you're from, no matter what you're going through, God knows exactly what you're going through, and he sees you right where you're at, and he's not going to leave you there. Amen? None of us have arrived yet. We're all on a journey, and I thank God for the journey. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for the word. I'm grateful that you sent this word here today to accomplish what you sent it to this place to do. Father, I pray, Father God, that you speak through me today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth come from you and not from me. I lay myself down in the altar, Father God, and I say, Father, be glorified through the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and all is done and all is accomplished, you will receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And I'll never cease to give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. So first he says that he takes the weak things in our text today, but God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise in verse 27, and God have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. In the Greek, this weak things means without strength. In other words, God can choose to use whatever God chooses to use. So look with me in Exodus chapter 4, and I'm just going to... Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're expecting, you're looking for signs, wonders, and miracles, and things to take place in your life, we're increasing faith. Every time the word goes forth, faith increases, but we have to be in the receptive mode. Amen? In Exodus chapter 4, we find the account of Moses' rod. And the word of God says in verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord have not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And he said that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Now this rod that was in Moses' hand was lifeless. It didn't have any strength. It didn't have any power. It was just a stick. But God used this dead stick to grow a plant through. It wasn't connected to the ground. It wasn't connected to water, but it budded. There was a bud in it. It was growing. God used this stick to part the Red Sea. God used this stick when Aaron and Hur lift up the Moses' arms when they were come against Amalek, when every time his hands were in the air, they prevailed and they won. It was strength and power. God used that stick to produce water out of the rock. And we even find when Moses put his own strength in it and struck it too, it brought him a curse. When he struck the rock the second time, he didn't have to strike it the second time. God said, strike it once. It was a stick. And let me say something. If God could use a dead stick... Come on. If God could use a dead stick, who in the world are you to think that God can't use you? He put life and breath in your lungs for such a time as now. In other words, if he could use a stick to part waters, what could he use you for? Hallelujah. I was reminded of that also in Judges chapter 15. So turn my Bible right side, that'd be good. Judges chapter 15. Go there with me a minute. I like Samson. Amen. Samson was a bad dude, man. Huh? I didn't hear you.
Never mind. We're getting there.
We there? Judges 15. It's kind of interesting here. God uses the jawbone of an ass. Amen. You know, it's kind of interesting the things that God would choose to use. Amen. I believe what the Lord wants to get in people's hearts today. No matter where you've been, No matter what you've done, God can turn around and make it fun in the sun. Hallelujah. God can turn things. God's a God of turnaround. Amen. And God will turn things around. And Judges chapter 15, verse number 14, it says that when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he poured forth his hand, and he took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps and heaped upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Lord says, if you with him we put one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. What can we do if we just come together in unity? Hallelujah. But he also says here, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramath Lehi. And it was sore thirst, and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave in a hollow place that was in the jaw. And there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again. He was revived. Wherefore they call the name of the place En Hakkore, which is Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. You know, it's kind of interesting that God takes this jawbone, and this jawbone of an ass becomes a weapon. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing captivity into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God not only used this jawbone and Samson's hand to defeat 1,000 Philistines, but also when he cast that away, it became a source of water. It became a source of life. It became something that produced and gave and renewed and restored. Amen. And that's what God is saying to us. You know, God will restore those things that the enemy has stolen. He'll renew some things in our hearts and lives, but we just got to let them. You know, sometimes you and I just have to get out of his way and let God. Sometimes we're trying to do it on our own strength, but his strength is made perfect in what? Our weakness. We have to recognize the need for his strength. In other words, Moses didn't have the strength to do it on his own, so God put something in his hand. What has God put in your hand? What has God put in your hand? I know one thing he's put in everyone's hand in the room. The Word of God. And if every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus, man, this is a mighty weapon. But this weapon isn't for us to beat one another up. That's the problem with the body of Christ. They're using the weapons for warfare, and they're beating each other up with the Word of God. God came to give life and the abundance thereof. God loves you right where you are. He loves you right where you are. He will not change his mind concerning you. He will not change his mind. He loves you right where you're at, but he loves you so much, he ain't going to leave you there. Hallelujah. He's going to take you to that place he's called you to be. And all he's saying to you is, we don't need to be open up. Amen. Amen. We got to allow him to speak. Amen. It's okay to be in the house of God, isn't it? Amen. Is it okay if I get loud? Amen. I come from a family of 9 children. I've got a big mouth. Amen. The Holy Spirit said that was justification. There was no excuse for that. I said, whoa. Oh, gosh. Huh. Sometimes I just say, Lord, do you always have to correct me in front of everyone? It's all good. You know, because when the Lord corrects, he corrects in love. Amen. Amen. And I want you to understand something. What God sees in every one of you right now, he sees what's good in you right now. And if we would see what's good in one another, we would build on what's good, that other stuff will go. But if you focus on the other stuff, it will be magnified. If you focus on the ugly will be magnified. Oh, how beautiful. Hallelujah. Hey, man, God said He created you perfectly. Amen. He created each and every one of us in His image. Man, when I think of that, man, and I think about the God that I serve, and He created me in his image, my head doesn't get big, but my heart gets big. Amen. I don't want to get a big head. Amen. Just let the heart grow. Amen. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're talking about how God uses the weak things, the things that were without strength. I think it's interesting. This is one of my most favorite. Do you have favorite places in the Bible? I have favorite places. You know, I love the Apostle Paul. You know what I love so much about the Apostle Paul? Because he was forgiven so much. Amen. And I don't know about you, but God forgave me a whole bunch. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He cleaned the slate, and man, He loved me so much. But the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, we can't really rely on His strength till we have revelation of our weakness. In other words, if I have the mindset I could do this without Him, He'll say, well, go ahead. He isn't going to make you and I do anything. All right? He gives you and I a free will. All right? But when I recognize my weakness, then His strength is made perfect in it. That opens the door for Him to come in to do a work. And then the Apostle Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Paul wasn't saying, I'm having a great time with these infirmities, and I'm having a great time with these reproaches and these necessities or these persecutions or these distresses. But what Paul was saying is, man, and every time I see God glorified, I see Him showing up. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He loves me, and He has a plan in my life. Amen? And when we see that, Paul was saying, man, I can glory in that. Because I know no matter what the enemy brings my way, God's got my back. Amen? And I don't know about you, but if you just get this revelation in your heart and life, if God be for me, who can stand against me? Amen? We have any children of God in the room? Can somebody give God a shout of praise?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many need His strength? Come on, let's be real. Hey, we're all in this place. We're all in the same place. You may be going through one thing in your life, and you may be going through another, and you may be going through another, you may be going through another, and you another, but we're all going through something. Amen? But as long as we're in this world, amen, we're going to face adversity. But praise God, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Say to your neighbor, thank God, His strength is made perfect in my weakness. I'm going to give Him glory. Watch, I'm going to yell in your ear. Ah! Well, that was weak. You know one thing, that you know what the Holy Spirit says? Let me say something. If you truly have revelation that His strength is made perfect in our weakness, all of a sudden it changes your whole countenance. If you have revelation and understand, you'll never see it the same way again. In other words, In other words, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against him. You know, and you have that in the Word. So when he comes, you know, that's where the Apostle Paul was. He was at that place where he could just smile and say, oh, Lord, I don't know what you can do, but I know you can do something. Whoa, I can't wait to see. Hallelujah. And God turns things around. How many know that God's a God of turnaround? Amen. So turn around and look at the one behind you and say, God's got to turn around. We're going to get some calisthenics. We'll get some movement in the house. Amen. Who knows? You might have had a back issue, a neck issue, something in your body. And when you follow the obedience of the Lord and you turn around, maybe the Lord just healed that place in your back, healed that place in your spine. Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Can we have fun in the house? So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again, verse 28. And the Word of God says this, "And the base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." Amen? In other words, God takes the base things. And when you look at the base things and you study that word out in the Greek, it's dishonorable. Before Christ, I did things that were dishonorable. Hello? Is anybody else in the room with me? Is it just me? I did things that were dishonorable, but God forgave me and he turned things around. Amen? He didn't make the things that I did honorable, but he brought honor back to me. And he brings honor back to you and I. So turn with me to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Verse number 28. The word of God says, "What think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go to work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and he said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and he went not. Whether of these two did the will of the Father? They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that you might believe him.'" In other words, what the Father is saying, he is saying this. All right, we're talking about dishonorable things. What was more dishonorable, to say that you were going to do something, that you weren't going to do something and repent and do it, or to say that you're going to do something and never do it? Yeah, you know, God turns that dishonor into honor. In other words, what he is saying here is, hey, you may have been doing something that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. You may be caught up in sin. You may be in a place of rebellion, but come to him, repent, turn, amen, and you'll be great in the kingdom of God. Much forgiven, much love. That's one of the things that really speaks to my heart the most. I was raised in church from a kid. I'm Pentecostal, holy rollers, people rolling around and all those things. And I hated church. Hello? I'll just be honest with you. I hated church. Bunch of people just picking on one another, just looking at how bad the other one is and talking about one another. Amen? And I rebelled against God and I went into the world and I got as far as you can go. Hello? But the Lord came into my room and delivered me from my addiction, set me free, called me into ministry. I had much forgiveness. You know, since he forgave me so much, I have a lot of love. Hallelujah. Amen. If he never does another thing for me the rest of my life, he's done enough for me. But I know he ain't done yet. He ain't done with me and he ain't done with you. I was reminded of that in Luke chapter 7. Verse number 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He said, tell me therefore, which of them will love me most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom you forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into the house, thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little was forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Man, every time I think about it, every time I reflect, you know, when we sing this song, the cross that saved me, when we sing that song and I look at the cross, I remember what happened on October the 12th, 1997. I remember when the Lord came into the room. I remember when he delivered me. I remember when he set me free. I remember when he called me into ministry. He lifted so much off of me that day. What has God done in your life? Stop looking for the next thing and be grateful for the last thing. Give him praise and glory. Amen. Stop looking at all these things that the adversary is trying to bring against you and recognize who you are. I'm forgiven because he was forsaken. I'm accepted because he was condemned. I'm alive and well. His spirit is within me because he died. It rose again. Amen. Amen. In other words, God wants you to recognize who you are. Amen. Praise God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says in verse number 12, he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who have enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God takes and uses the weak things that do not have strength. Amen. He uses the base things, those things that had no honor. You know, when Jesus removes your sin and covers it with his blood, it's removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. When you've repented, that is not yours any longer. Some people believe they can't do this or they can't do that for the kingdom of God because of who they were. That isn't who you are. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen? I don't know about you, but I think that God wants us to have revelation and understanding of what he's called us to. Amen? Hey, he's called us to take back this planet. this planet belongs to him. You know, he cast the devil down here. He cast them out of heaven, and he cast them to this earth. And then he decided that he was going to come and take it back from them. And when he came to take it back from them, he appointed you for such a time as this. Amen. And the adversary doesn't want you to recognize and realizing who you are and the authority and power you have in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because every last one of you, if you're in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. Amen. So everywhere you go, God goes. Amen. Everywhere you go, God goes. It's no matter where it's at, wherever you're at, God's there. Amen. We don't have to look too far for him. So God wants you to understand that he's taking those weak things that didn't have strength and those base things that did not have honor, and he's turning them around, and he's going to use them for his glory. Amen. And he doesn't share his glory with anyone. Amen. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 one more time. And I'll get this out of the way here. In verse number 30, it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made us unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Amen. So with this in mind, turn with me to Micah chapter 6. The prophet Micah. Verse number 8. You get there, say amen. If not, just write it down. Look for it later. Hallelujah. The prophet Micah says in Micah 6, 8, he says, he have showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen. So in other words, he's bringing this about. He's taking the weak things. He's taking the things that were without strength, because we couldn't do it in our own strength and our own power. He has taken the base things, the things that were dishonorable, and he's turned them around. Amen. Because we've been forgiven and we're a new creation. And now we're going to bring some things to pass. So look with me in Isaiah chapter 56. It's his righteousness, not ours. He says in Isaiah 56, verse number 1, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold of it, and keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing evil. You know, if I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I'm walking in newness of life. I'm not acting like I used to act. I'm putting on a new man. I'm being transformed into his image. Amen. Remember that it's an inward work. It's working inwardly, not outwardly. It's not manifested so quickly on people's lives. Sometimes we forget how long it took us to grow up. Hello? Come on. You know, sometimes that's what happens if we start looking down our nose at people. You know? I don't know. When the Lord found me, I was in a mess. But he took that mess, he made it a message, didn't he, Dusty? Amen. In other words, he tells us to keep, you know, this day, you know. Let me say this. It wasn't in the message, but the Holy Spirit's going to say it anyway. The writer of Hebrews tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, as we see the day approaching. God wants everyone in this place to know something. That you need the others that are in this room, and that they need you. That everyone has a measure of faith. Everyone has gifts. Everyone, God's given everyone something. And that something that he's given us is for the benefit of others. Amen? And in other words, you've got something that we need. You've got something that I need. In other words, God, even if God chose for us to just totally depend on Him and not trust one another, God chose to work through people, not around people. You know, there's people in this room that have the word of prophecy and they're keeping their mouth shut. They're not even speaking, and somebody's dying because you're not speaking the word that God's placed in your heart to speak. There's people that are sick, and God's given the gift of healing. If you don't allow them to operate in the gift, start moving it. You know, God's called us all to be a body working and functioning together for His glory. Amen? And He was telling the prophet Micah says, hey, to keep the Sabbath from polluting and keeping His hand from doing evil. You know, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and if we grow, hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with accountability. Hello? There's nothing wrong with accountability. You know, hey, God never left anyone unaccountable. Amen? In other words, not to judge one another, not to tell one another what to do. Amen? I like the Brothers Keepers or whatever. It was just encouragement for men. There's not enough men talking to men about God. There's not enough men. There's so many things that are going on in this world. There's more talking about the things of this world, but talking about the things of God. Amen. I'm thankful for everyone that's here today. You bring joy to my heart. I thank God. Every one of you are darling and sweet in your own way. And everyone's got their old issues like I do. Except you, Dusty. God created you almost perfect. If He creates you perfect, you wouldn't need Him, would you? Mm-hmm. Nah. Okay, let me move on. Proverbs 11. I'll get this. The Word of God says in Proverbs 11:17, the prophet Solomon is saying, King Solomon is saying, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. You know, when I look at that, life and death are standing face to face. And His mercy said no. That He wasn't going to let us go. He wasn't going to let us slip away. Amen? That He's got a plan in our hearts and lives. I think that's awesome. I wish some people could get excited as I am. Come on. Come on. Church ain't that bad. God's good. God's good. God's good. Come on. Let's celebrate Jesus in this place. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know, when I'm preaching, I'm going to tell you, give you a little secret. When I hear amen, hallelujah, I can move on. When I don't hear it, I got to stay on the subject. Hallelujah. See, hey, what is God doing here right now? He's bringing us together in unity by the word of God. Because God still has things He wants to do in the house today. He still has something He wants to do in your life. He isn't done yet. He's only begun. He's got something. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Hallelujah. I give Him praise and glory for that. So turn with me to Romans chapter 12, and then I'll close. I asked for it, didn't I, Dusty? Wow, what a move. I don't know something today. I can't hardly see because my face is smiling so much. My eyes are almost shut. I feel like I'm at I just got some joy in my heart today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God says in Romans 12:3, the Apostle Paul says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Amen. We're a family, church. We're a family. Many have come from broken family. The brokenness is broken. God is the restorer of all things. God is the restorer of all things. Every last broken thing He restores. So in closing today, in 1 Peter, chapter 5, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Basically, all He has said to us is verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. In closing day, hey, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. God wants you to understand that He'll take those things that were weak, that did not have strength, and He will bring strength to them. That He would take those base things, those things that were dishonorable, and He'll turn them around for His glory. And that He will take those the weak things and the base thing to bring about some good thing. How many could stand something good to take place in their life? Come on, is anybody here today that needs God's goodness and mercy? Can we bow our heads and pray? Father, I thank You for Your word. Lord, we praise You and give You glory for sitting here today. And Lord, there's some here today that are without strength. They need Your strength in the time of their weakness. There's some here today that need Your deliverance, Father God. That they need the touch of the Master's hand. There's some here today, Father God, that are sick in body. They need the touch of the healer. There's some here today, Father God, that have drifted away from You, and they need You to come back big in their hearts and their lives. Your word declares that You're the one that stands at the door. You're the one that knocks. But our part is we need to open the door. And if we open the door, Your word declares that You will come in and You'll sup in fellowship with us. So in the closing moments of this service today, first of all, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, or maybe you knew Him and you're not at that place you need to be, you drifted away and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Is that you? Would you slip up your hand? Anybody here need Jesus?